So hit me up if you don't mind. Welcome back into our second hour. I'm Jim Rome. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so we start our second hour. Things are starting to heat up a little bit right now in the way of interviews. So you want to call. And if you want to call, you want to do it right now. Terry Stotts coming up next segment. Blazers head coach, of course. Scott Hansen, top of hour number three. Matt Kenseth also coming up in hour number three. An episode of the Jim Rome podcast with Damon West. Really quickly, Damon West was a college football player. Young guy, started off his career, was doing well. He was in the financial industry. Picked up a drug habit. Did cocaine. Transitioned from cocaine to meth. Had to find a way to fund that drug habit. Started to rob homes. Lots of them. And was ultimately run down by the cops and sentenced to 65 years in prison. 65 years. This guy came from good family, good background, very bright. 65 years. Did a long stretch, not that long, but got out and somehow was able to ingratiate himself with the biggest names in college football. It's a fascinating story, and he's got a great, great story to tell and a message. So I'm looking forward to talking to him. I've heard about him for a while, but I've never spoken to Damon West. We will have that after the program today. Make sure to look for it. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Ritt was telling me that he's going to be with Dabo Swinney, and then he's going to come out of that meeting, and he's going to rap with us. So, Damon West, episode 137 of the Jim Rome podcast, which is coming up later today. 1-800-636-8686. Some quick reaction. Trevor Douglas tweets, War Randall. Yeah! Tommy from NC tweets, War Dick Flowers, bringing the jungle together. One for three, C1. I would go inside that NBA bubble and teach them how to sing. Signed, Garrett Ritt.
They're singing, no Cubs, no. Hey, Cubs, you blow.
Get it, Pops.
Jose Quintana, what do you say? Dishwashing is not your game. The Cubs are a joke. They may as well stay home. It wasn't Paul Olive or Cascade to blame for getting that thumb fillet.
That's amazing. It was not Palmolive or Cascade to blame for that thumb getting filleted. Tell me again, Ritt, where those lyrics came from.
It wasn't Palmolive or Cascade to blame for getting that.
That's all just floating around in your bald dome? Amazing. Ritt's got no shame. Like, not only is he not embarrassed by that, he's proud of that.
Game on.
Game on. It's about time. Oh. Absolutely amazing. All right, then, I mentioned, look, this next take is graphic in nature. You've been warned. What's up, Alvy? You just gave me the face. This next take is graphic in nature. Again, you've been warned. Now twice. Don't look now, but America's former pastime is about to make its triumphant return. Past its normal time, but I guess better late than never. See what I did there? Let's not bury the lead, because baseball is back. Baseball is back. Just later than we thought, and for not as long as we're accustomed to, which might be a good thing, because tomorrow the start to the 60-game sprint gets underway with a doubleheader between the Yanks and Nats, then the Giants and Dodgers. Weird, right? They're going to play baseball. It's going to be baseball tomorrow in the midst of this pandemic. A little weird. Now, a lot of sports talk radio programs that have been dying on a vine can't wait for this.
Can't wait.
Games, stats, matchups. You know, awesome. They'll probably run out some kind of MLB preview today. Make some picks. Talk about who's going to win their division and rip the chip in 2 months' time. Yeah, I've got a preview too. But not your typical sports radio preview. No, instead, this is a wild and unsolicited story told by Hall of Famer George Brett. And again, as I mentioned, George Brett is one of one. Brett is one of a kind. One of the greatest pure hitters in the history of the game. One of the all-time characters and personalities of that game. George Brett is larger than life and just an amazing player. and an amazing personality. Kind of miss him. You know, he back in the day would come on the program, did great interviews, loved the show, loved coming on, came to a tour stop. And then, like, you know, I've seen this time and time again. There's some guys that come on and then always come on, then some guys who come on, then don't come on, then reappear. I'm not really sure what happened to George. We've gone out a number of times over the years. It's life. It happens. I just want to say I've got great recollections of him not only as a player, but also as a jungle contributor. That said, he was down on the field, hanging with the team, the Royals, during an inter-squad game last week. Do be forewarned for now a third time. The story is extremely graphic in nature, and I'm not underselling that when I say that. But it is George freaking Brett, one of the best to ever pick up a bat, picking up a hot mic, and chopping it up with a few guys before a game. Normally, radio rules would suggest you don't run 2 minutes of straight audio. That's a lot of audio. But you can do that if it warrants it. And I could make the argument that this warrants it. Remember, this is Hall of Famer George Brett. Never in a million years would I roll this tape if it did not come straight from the horse's gap. Here you go. Hope you've had your lunch. And now I'm going to warn you a fourth time. Brace yourself for this.
My pants last night. I did. Went out and had a great meal, just a great meal. I had to go to the bathroom so bad in the car. I'm going, travel, hurry up, man. I got to my pants. I'm good twice a year for that. When was the last time you your pants? Been a while? I was in Vegas a couple years ago. Just an honest to God true story. I went over to the Mirage for dinner, met some friends of mine over there. The guy brings out some fresh crab legs. Then we go play gamble a little bit. And I'm walking back to the hotel. I get three quarters of the way out of the lobby, and all of a sudden I go, oh, f-. And I'm standing here like this. I got my butt pinched so I can't move. All of a sudden, water. I had some food poisoning from the crabs. Take off my leather jacket, tied it around my waist, and I'm just standing there, and it's just running down my leg. And I just start walking. Every time I'm walking, something's coming out. It's water. Straight water. And then I'm standing outside, and I got on my cell phone, and I said, Larry, you won't believe this. I'm standing outside the Bellagio. I can't move. I got everywhere. All over myself. And Larry's about a 48 waist. So he brings me over a pair of pants and some towels. And so he comes over and he meets me where I tell him where I'm standing. He finds the closest bathroom in the lobby of the hotel. And then I get in the escalator and he kind of pretends like he dropped something so no one gets behind me. Tells me where it is. I go in there. He goes and gets the towel all wet for me, throws it over the stall. I take off all my clothes, just wipe off, leave my shoes, left my shoes, my pants, everything right there, the towels right there in the stall, and I'm walking barefoot with my shirt and his pants that are 48 waist through the lobby like this at midnight. Got up in the morning, took the most perfect double taper I've ever had in my life. True story. Who's the pitchers in this game?
Wow. All right, now here's the weird thing about that story. I'm thinking to myself that I've heard a story like that once before, and I'm trying to figure out where I heard that story once before. And the really weird thing about that story, and you know, like the deja vu, right? You ever have that feeling of deja vu where something happened and you've been there before, you've lived it before, you can't quite get your head around it. It's like deja vu. I feel like that with that story, because on top of that, I feel like I heard a similar story. And weirdly enough, the thing that's kind of dinging my radar right now, it feels like I heard it when I was in Kansas City, or that it was about Kansas City. And then when I hear that audio right now, although it was kind of floating around this week, I feel like it's not a new story. I feel like that's a classic, like one of George's greatest hits, that didn't just come out. But the moral of the story is, there's a lot of morals to that story. For instance, if you want my take, I have no take. I have no thoughts. You can do whatever the hell you want with that. The ultimate moral of the story, if it were anybody other than George Brett, is this. If you see a microphone, consider it hot. In fact, it's not even a microphone anymore. If you see a cell phone, consider it hot. No. If you leave your house in the morning, consider yourself hot. And especially if you're anybody of any importance, Because if you say something like that, if you take 2 minutes to tell an entire story about how you crapped yourself, and you're somebody with 3,000 hits, one of the greatest ever, it's going to find its way to where it just found. It's going to find its way online, and then it's going to find its way to me. Now I'm going to push it out to about 9 billion people. But as I mentioned, if we're anybody other than George Brett, George doesn't give a damn. I mean, I don't think George told that story thinking, oh, this is going to be cool. Oh, you want? I got something for you. Here, listen to this story. He probably didn't know the mic was hot, but I don't think George cares. It's George Brett, man. What would he possibly care about? He's George freaking Brett. George freaking Brett, if you need him. Although I'm not sure any of us needed that. But then again, at least you know. Now you know. Now you've got a playbook. Now you have a playbook that you could run if you have the runs. See what I did there? You make sure you find one of your buddies who's kind of fat, who's got a size 48 pair of jeans, and you make sure that if you've got a leather jacket, you tie it around your waist. I mean, he just ran the whole playbook on what to do in the event that you poop yourself. I mean, that's thinking on your feet. Anyway, there it is. You wanted a jungle preview of the 2020 MLB season. There you go. You got it, courtesy of George Brett. Even if that audio was 10 years old or 7 years old or whenever it came from. So George came on the show back in the day. What year was this, Alvy? 2006. Tell me that was not his last appearance. All right, so George came on. That was not his last appearance. But he came on in 2006 and was talking about how he was driving a Jeep or a golf cart, I should say. I'm thinking about a Jeep because when I grew up in the 818, I used to go to this driving range. We'd always try and hit the knob in the Jeep. Who was picking up all the golf balls? We were talking about that. He was driving a cart. Worst job ever, or the reason that you made a run at 400 and ended up in the Hall of Fame?
Only job ever.
Great.
My only job I ever had, Jim, to be honest with you, and it was a par 3 course. The guy that owned it gave me a regular golf cart, no cage at all, and I would drive around with those little wheels on the back with the little baskets, you know,
sure.
And I'd pick up these range balls, and every time you'd be out there, everybody would start aiming at your ass, you know?
Of course.
And so being a high school football player, I went to the school, and I got a football helmet, and I drove around in a football helmet, no shoulder pads, no cage or nothing, and it was just brutal.
You see why I miss this guy, George Brett. Of course, I mean, have you ever been to a driving range and seen that kid who's making a few bucks an hour picking up those balls? You don't try and dot that guy. You don't try and bounce a laser shot off whatever he's driving. They sent George Brett out there in a golf cart in no cage. Goalies without masks think that's stupid. I love the way he put on a football helmet. Stephen Crowtown tweets, this George Brett story is like a Rex in the ABQ bat signal. That is definitely a concern. Hard Rocks 24 tweets, you just put out the freaking bat signal for Rex in the ABQ. Ditto, I know I just said that. Danny Mahaffey 3 tweets, I smell a call from Rex coming. That makes 3. JP Emmett tweets, number 5, with the best number 2 story ever. Casey, New Hampshire, Louis Slungpu. Cannot believe that story.
Louis Slungpu. I hope I pronounced the last name correctly.
Yes, ma'am. It's Slungpu.
Oh, thank you very much. What can you tell us about this? Or is it something you've ever seen before like this?
You know, we had a pressure break around sunset, and the cherry bomb must have popped through the top of the pipe and just blew the bottom right out of it.
Well, is this something that happens because of the UCLA campus and kids playing around, or is it the high school campus, or do you know the source?
Right now, we're still in the investigation phase. It just seems that the break might have come somewhere around the Poly Pavilion area, one of the locker rooms. It was either a cherry bomb or someone took a really large dump, you know?
That is an incredible... So are you 100% sure about that? Is that
That's a fake call.
Oh, we lost him. I'm sorry about that. We hope to get him back and find out how they're going to close down.
Whoever that was, she could not have handled that any worse. Not only was she not listening, and if she was listening, what can you say about somebody who didn't respond to somebody saying, yeah, it was either a cherry bomb or somebody took a really large dump. And then she doesn't understand how they lost him, namely they cut him off. She actually said, maybe we can get him back. Yeah, I wish you had. Hey, Lewis, you shouldn't have. Rum Slice, that Jesse's Girl rendition was still better than anything Huey Lewis and the news put out. Regards, Jim Rome. That's cool. Now I'm emailing myself. Wouldn't I just say that rather than send that to myself in the form of an email? Geoff. When we return, Terry Stotts, Trailblazers head coach, will be joining us. That's coming up next. George Brett, my man. All right, so I don't to full transparency, that soundbite, that story, was floating around this week. That may not have happened recently. I'm trying to figure out when that happened, but I'm starting to get a sense. It's all coming back. That's an old story. Either way, it's a story for the ages. Stay tuned. I've got Terry Stotts. Then I've got Scott Hansen at the top. I have Matt Kenseth coming up in hour number three, too. Stay with it.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. So we talked bubble life a little bit earlier. Now we have a conversation with the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers. He is in his eighth season with the Trailblazers, led Portland to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in nearly 20 years. Only current NBA coach to win Coach of the Month at least once in each of the last six seasons. Portland is going to resume play against Memphis on July 31st. We are talking to Terry Stotts. Once again, Terry, it's great to have you back. It's been a minute or so since we've spoken, Terry. So how are you, and how is life for you right in the middle of the bubble?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking. Life in the bubble is it's interesting. It's unique. I think everybody's kind of settled into a routine. Once we got out of quarantine and started practicing and kind of got the lay of the land of our hotel, today, as a matter of fact, is the first day that we are allowed to go to the other hotels. There are three hotels here in the NBA bubble. And so today is the first day that we are actually able to go to the other hotels. I don't think I'll be doing that, but it's been a remarkable experience. It's the NBA did an outstanding job of thinking of everything. I think everybody feels very safe with the testing, with the safeguards and the precautions. From a basketball standpoint, we have gym, we've got weight room. So it's a unique basketball experience, but it's even more so a unique life experience.
Blazers head coach Terry Stotts is joining us because you did such a good job of laying that out. I want to jump right into this. Like, one of the big questions coming into this would be, what was the layoff going to do to the players? Because it's not like a regular offseason where guys can keep working out and playing all summer long. In this case, it was going to be tougher to have access to gyms and facilities for months on end. So what were your initial impressions when you first saw your guys again?
Well, we had the luxury of, they opened up our practice facility, I believe, the first week of May. And we had almost all of our players were in Portland, and they were, with not a lot to do during the lockdown and shutdown of businesses and everything. Our players were pretty diligent about coming in and getting individual work on the court and working in the weight room and taking care of themselves. So I was able to stay in touch. Our coaching staff was able to stay in touch with them throughout those 2 months before we came down to Florida. The only thing that we were missing was the ability to have full-on practices and contact, but which was a concern coming into it. But again, I thought it was a good job by the NBA to allow us these 3 weeks of to ramp things up from a health standpoint, from a basketball conditioning standpoint. But personally, and for our team, our guys did a great job of staying in shape, and so the transition individual workouts to team practices was pretty seamless.
Terry Stotts joining us. And the one guy, Terry, who came back in amazing shape was Carmelo Anthony. I mean, he was almost unrecognizable. He said that once you told him that he was going to play the three, he challenged himself to drop some weight. How different does he look to you? And what's it say about him putting in that kind of work during his hiatus to get to that place?
Well, I'll answer the two questions. One, as far as him, I've said on a few occasions the discipline that he showed to be out of the NBA for a year, and the discipline that he showed to stay in shape, not knowing if he was going to get an opportunity to play again. It was, I think it's a credit to him that he came in and within a week was playing 30 some minutes, NBA hard minutes, after being out of the game for a year. So, the fact that he dedicated himself to that during the hiatus, he said he hasn't lost that much, but when you see pictures of him, you know, it's obviously his body has changed, but again, he's a pro's pro, and he showed that during the year he's out of the game. He showed it during the hiatus. And as far as me noticing it, it's funny, when he was coming into the facility every day, I couldn't say that he was losing weight, but I just noticed he looked good, you know. But when we got into the bubble and some of those pictures showed up on the social media of him wearing a jersey, It was very noticeable that his body had changed.
I thought it was jaw-dropping. I thought the guy looked amazing. Now, he brings so much to it in terms of leadership and experience, but it's not like you were short on those things before. You've got guys like Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum. So how valuable is all that going to be when you have this really unusual situation and you've got the pressure of needing to win right out of the gate? How much does it help to have that kind of leadership?
Well, it helps immensely. You know, his leadership throughout the year, he has the immediate respect of all his teammates, and most of whom, you know, were in junior high and high school when growing up watching him play and idolizing him. So, you know, the one thing that I come back to is the time that Melo spent with the Olympic team and what he meant to the Olympics, for the Olympic basketball team, the U.S. national team, and how he was such a part of that. And in some ways, this is similar. You know, we're very unified as a team. We're in the same position. And, you know, I think him understanding what's at stake and do or die, I shouldn't say do or die in the middle of a pandemic, but it's how important each game is going to be. And I think, as you mentioned, between him and Dame and CJ, the leadership and the responsibility that they all take is pretty good.
All right, so Dame made a great made a point with a great story that you just made. He turned 30 on Wednesday. CJ McCollum and others organized a party for him. One of Lillard's messages to everybody at the party was, quote, "My only ask as a birthday gift is let's not waste our bleeping time out here," end quote. It's a great attitude and a great take. How would you describe the mindset of your team right now?
Well, you know, I'd like to say CJ did a great job of organizing that, not just for the team, but everybody in our traveling party was there. So 35, 36 people were there. And, you know, to me, it's typical Dame. You know, he's very focused, very single-minded in his profession. And we've had great success in the second half of the season, primarily because of him and his mindset. And we've come, like I said, the last two or three months of the season, the last few seasons, and really ramped it up. And that's his mindset, and that's our team's mindset. I think we all felt we were going to be in that position again this year before the season was postponed. But now with only 8 games to prove ourselves, it doesn't surprise me that he would take that approach, and that rubs off on everybody.
So, Terry, before you go, what about your approach? So you've got 8 games, you're 3.5 back of Memphis for the 8th spot in the West. How do you approach the seeding games when they begin? For instance, do you treat them like playoff games in terms of rotation and substitution patterns?
Yeah, for sure. We don't have the luxury of, you know, there are a lot of teams down here, you know, 13, 14 teams that know that they're going to be in the playoffs. Home court doesn't matter anymore. So I think it's going to be those 13 teams are going to approach it differently than we are. And we are going to approach each game as a playoff game. The rotation will be a little tighter. We have one back-to-back, so it is like a playoff scenario for us just to get into the playoffs. We have to play well. We start off with Memphis, who we're chasing. Both teams know how important that game is. So we don't have any time to waste.
All right, so finally, what do you think it's going to be like to play in an arena without any fans. What are your expectations?
It's going to be interesting. I'm anxious to see how these scrimmage games, we have three scrimmage games coming up, and how they are going to be game operations. I know some people have taken some tours of what's going to happen. I think you're going to see two different scenarios, what we are experiencing in the gym and what the fans are going to experience watching on television. I'm anxious to see both of them. I do think that I don't know if they're piping in noise or crowd noise or anything like that, but I really think it's going to put a premium on each team creating their own motivation and understanding that even though it feels different, the importance of the games don't change.
He is the head coach of the Portland Trail Blazers. He is eight seasons in right now. Portland and Memphis on July 31st. It will be great to see some NBA action. Always appreciate it. Terry, thanks so much for coming back on. Good luck with it.
Thanks, Jim. Be safe.
Be safe, Terry. Great talking to you. Terry Stotts. All right. Have you seen those pictures of Melo? They're amazing. Like jaw-dropping. And Melo insists that he only lost 5 pounds and that he just merely redistributed weight. Man, my man, whatever, either it's 5 pounds or 10 pounds or 15 pounds, it's 10 years. The guy looked incredible. I could not believe how much younger he looked. And we'll see how it translates. I mean, that's always the thing. How is it going to translate on the floor? But his point was, when they told me that I was going back to the three, and of course he played there for quite some time, he challenged himself to lose the weight and get ready. Top of the hour, Scott Hansen, then Matt Kenseth. So we go back-to-back, which means the next segment is open for you if you want to call 1-800-636-8686. Take a short time out. Time for a sports update. Here is the...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help you out with supplies and solutions for every industry, free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. All right, so again, it's a really unusual time. This is why every time I have a guest on that either I have not spoken to for a long time or that I've never spoken to, I always say, how are you and yours doing during this really unusual time? Because it's a really unusual time. There's uncertainty. There's a lot of anxiety right now. So in the midst of all of this, I think a lot of us are still trying to find hope and happiness and optimism. Hell, even love. With all the hate in the air, love conquers all, right? And there is love in the air. There is. There just is. You don't believe me? Ask Clemson star quarterback Trevor Lawrence. He spent his Saturday suited and booted getting engaged to his longtime girlfriend at an empty Memorial Stadium in South Carolina. Dude has spent his entire college career bringing anybody and everybody who rolled into Death Valley to their knees. But this past weekend, it was a role reversal of sorts as he dropped down and he put a ring on it. Most people seeing the photo of two happy people getting engaged thumb out some sort of sincere congratulations. However, since my man plays football in the South, one Baton Rouge news anchor used Trevor Lawrence's engagement for a knee-slapping comedy routine on ABC2. Check out Matt Trent going all open mic at the Laugh Factory with it.
Well, we end tonight with Trevor Lawrence once again giving away a ring on a football field. The Clemson quarterback got engaged last night to his longtime girlfriend. So congrats to both of them. Joe Burrow, not available for comment, but don't worry, Trevor. Daddy's proud of you. Go Tigers. We're back after this.
Yo, Maddie, I see you working. And by I see you working, I mean I see you working really, really hard. Let's roll that back one more time. Listen for the double punchline. The first being that Trevor Lawrence gave away a ring on the field again. And the second being that Joe Burrow is his daddy.
Well, we end tonight with Trevor Lawrence once again giving away a ring on a football field. The Clemson quarterback got engaged last night to his longtime girlfriend. So congrats to both of them. Joe Burrow, not available for comment, but don't worry, Trevor. Daddy's proud of you. Go Tigers. We're back after this.
Sick. Sick Burns. Sick Burns. Hey, look, I get that this anchor is going to honk hard for the LSU Tigers. That's fine. Hell, it's great. This is a big Coach O house also. Watching him and them plant their flag at the top of the college football world last year was incredible. And as feel good as it gets, considering that Coach O's journey is what it is, and considering Joe Burrow's backstory, and that Joe Burrow had as good a year as any college quarterback I've ever seen. However, it's not like Trevor Lawrence is some bum who gagged away the title game last year. Not his best game, but he threw for 230 yards. He had no picks. He did rush for a TD. Saying that he gave away the ring is just inaccurate. It's not smart. And it's an insult to your own guy, Joe Burrow, who played a flawless game. He went off 463 yards, five scores through the air, and another on the ground. That was not a Clemson choke job. That was an LSU ass beating. And to call it anything else is a slight on the school that you yourself are honking so hard for. As for Burrow being Trevor Lawrence's daddy, yeah, sure, I guess. Kinda. Sort of. Not really at all. I mean, yeah, Burrow got over. Burrow got the better of it on the biggest stage. The much better of it. But I'm not going to take anything away from him. But are you really going to pretend like Trevor Lawrence was not the offensive MVP of the Natty title game a year earlier? Are we going to pretend like this guy is not on everybody's 2021 draft board at the very top? I mean, you can't go around sunning someone with a 25-1 record and a championship trophy who is likely 9 months away from cashing a massive paycheck to play on Sundays. Lawrence himself saw it, responded to the news anchor with, quote, "Ha ha, I love it when grown men try this hard to talk about me," end quote. It's actually a good clapback, but he deleted that tweet. It's too bad because it was a good clapback. Because that is a grown-ass man trying really, really hard to talk about you and not doing a very good job of it. If you're going to shred an athlete or a coach, especially one in college, if you can do it to anybody in college at all, pick somebody who deserves it and then go savage with it. Leave the corny popsicle jokes on the stick. You need some examples. I'll help you out. If you're going to do something like that, if you're a member of the media and you want to take a run at somebody, how about Vikings announcer Paul Allen ruthlessly shredding his own Brett Favre for throwing away a trip to the Super Bowl back in 09?
Now he fires over the middle, intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter, near side to the 40, and John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line. You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
Looking at that play, he should have just held on to it, Paul. He should have. He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
So good. So good. That's amazing. Just shredding their own. That was good. From good to great. Check out the legend, Bob Costas. I see my man is going to be a contributor at CNN. Good to see that, Bob. Bob Costas is a legend. Check him out. Calling out a Cubs-Cardinals game a few years back for MLB Network. To set the stage here, Joe Maddon comes out to get Pedro Strop. He had just blown the game. Costas, the icon that he is, buried Strope on his way off the bump back to the dugout.
It's not Bosio this time, it's Maddon, and that means a change. Mott is on his way in, Strope is on his way out, pointing toward the heavens. We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
That's a real thing, and really funny, and really awesome. That's Bob freaking Costas verbally dismantling a guy who pointed to the heavens after getting the hook in a bad performance. See, like, greatness knows no terrestrial bounds. But since we're talking about a news anchor here who took the misguided shots at Trevor Lawrence, why don't we keep it in the industry for the GOAT example of a news anchor taking a run at a coach or an athlete? I just wish I knew this legend's name, but the year is 1989, and Doug Collins had just been fired by the Bulls.
If you're getting ready for work right now, then you're probably not Doug Collins.
If you're getting for work, ready for work right now, you're probably not Doug Collins. An unbelievably ruthless verbal burial in just 13 words. For all the amazing lines that came out of that 10-part doc, The Last Dance, that's at the very top, looking down at everybody and everything.
If you're getting ready for work right now, then you're probably not Doug Collins.
Freaking Doug Collins won 47 games and a couple of playoff series in 89. And that guy's got to wake up to hear that?
If you're getting ready for work right now, then you're probably not Doug Collins.
That's how you do it, Matt Tran. Remember the next time. Remember that the next time. You want to take shots at a 20-year-old kid who just got engaged to the love of his life and is the national championship MVP and is like 9 months away from cashing the kind of paper that 99.99999% of the world will never see in their entire lifetime. Add it up. What'd the guy do wrong? He took a knee and asked the love of his life to marry him at a time where we need love.
Daddy's proud of you. Go Tigers. We're back after this.
Daddy's proud of you. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Cleveland quickly. Jerry in Cleveland. Jerry, how are you?
Speaking of hot mics, Jimmy, wait for it. Yeah, Hawk wants a new caller, one that won't get run, one that won't try to sell floss or call a clone fat. He wants a new caller, one that isn't a narc, one where he has to put on the headphones and explain what the hell he was thinking.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Hey, Adam Hawk. I know the last time I asked you to do this it went terrible for you, but let's go ahead and do this. Exactly what was that dude's deal?
His name's Jerry in Cleveland, and he wanted to earn the gloss Parody Jerry, like Parody Larry. And I said, well, you got to earn it, so let's see.
Well, he earned it all right.
Yeah.
Why would somebody want to be Parody Larry?
I don't know. I guess Parody Jerry wanted to be Parody Larry.
Because it rhymed or because he thought Parody Larry was cool?
Maybe both. I don't know. That kind of sucked, though, and made Parody Larry look a lot better, which is very unfortunate.
That made Parody Larry look like Weird Al. That didn't kind of suck. That really sucked.
Yeah, that sucked. I'm sorry about that.
Thanks. Go away. You saying I'm sorry about that is the equivalent of Logan Rome saying, my bad. No matter what Logan does, my bad. Like, that makes everything go away. My bad. Kid's 15, like, if I saw him drink a case of beer, I'd be like, Logan, the hell are you doing? My bad. He's 15 without a driver's license. If he took my car and he wrapped it around a tree, like, Logan, the hell are you doing? My bad. If he got, and none of these things are true, they're all hypotheticals. I'm just saying, like, worst case scenario, think of something totally terrible your son could do. Logan says, my bad for everything. So when Hawk says, I'm sorry, that's the equivalent of my 15-year-old's my bad. I don't have
my driver's license,
Dad, but
I'm sorry.
Drove your car off a cliff. My bad. Hey, Dad, you and Mom are out, so me and my friends thought we'd get high, so we were smoking, and we burned the house to the ground. My bad. Like, my bad just makes everything go away, when it makes nothing go away. That's the equivalent, you, Adam, of you saying, oh, I'm sorry. You're the one who put Parody Jerry on. Excuse me. Now, that guy had a reason. Now, that guy said, excuse me, my bad. Play that, Alvin. He had a reason.
For your winner, David. Excuse me, my bad. Elijah Young Snipes Terrell. My bad. I called it wrong. My bad. I got the scores right. I got the winner wrong. My bad, my friend.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
In that case.
Our judges called it 29-28, 29-28, 30-27. For your winner, David, the Coffee Boss Booker.
Are you sure? Man, there's some bells that you cannot unring. As we go to the end of hour two, Bella B. Bella B tweets, good Lord, Cleveland. Put the phone down. Drew in West LA is back. That song was
put
riddled with dead-end melodies and lines that didn't rhyme. LOLZ. Jamie in Green Bay, if you're getting ready for work right now, you're probably not Hawk when his boss is on vacation for 2 weeks.
Now, then you're probably not Doug Collins.
All right, so we go back-to-back, top of the hour. First up, Scott Hansen, and then Matt Kenseth, and then you have one last chance to get through. 1-800-636-8686. That's hour number two. Hour number three, straight ahead.